Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today, we're going to be playing Escape Plan, designed by Vital Lacerda of The Galleris, Lisboa on Mars, Venus, Kanban, CO2, and CO2 Second Chance. A lot more, I think. It's developed by Paul Incau. The artist is Ian O'Toole of Every Game Ever.
He has done a lot.
And it is published in 2019 by Eagle Griffin Games. The description is, after a successful bank heist, you and your fellow thieves are laying low and enjoying the good life. Most of the cash has been hidden away, and the rest has been invested in businesses throughout the city. Everything is going according to plan until police make a breakthrough in their investigation. Accusations are made, fingers are pointed, and after a heated argument, you decide to go your separate ways. Chaos ensues as the SWAT team is called in and starts to close off the city's exits. Your only chance is to escape the city before it is completely locked down, but you need a plan, a route that lets you leave the city while recovering much from the money as possible. You will need to call in some favors and hire local gangs to create diversions. Disguises may help, but they don't fool everyone. Setting the police on the trail of your former colleagues will give you a better chance of escape, but the other thieves are thinking the same thing. Will you escape with the most money, or will the police lock down the city before you can get out? The mechanics are area movement, card drafting, enclosure, hexagon grid, modular board, and tile placement. The box art gives me GTA vibes for some reason.
Yep.
Sort of a split thing with at the top, there's like some, I guess those are the thieves. They look like kind of businessy type thieves, and the police helicopter and car in the background with like a city overpass and very dramatic escape plan and money falling from the sky.
I feel like this is the most movie poster-esque box art we've seen in a while. But yeah, like Grand Theft Auto vibes for sure. Definitely like, I feel like it goes back to like the San Andreas, which would have been like 1980s. And this feels like a 1980s movie poster, just the way it's laid out. I also got, yeah, it was weird, like Downforce was like a weird vibe because Downforce had a very similar like...
sharp angles. It's fast. We're moving fast.
Well, it's just weird because like it's... You guys say movie posters, and then I think realistic. Maybe like the stuff in it is like movie poster, but it definitely has that kind of almost chalky drawn feel to it, though. And like everything's kind of overlaid with the shade of blue that's really weird. So I don't know. It's
like a drawing of a movie poster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know how people do like street art and stuff. Mm-hmm. This is like that chalk street art that somebody was just like, you know, a movie I love. I love Escape Plan, and I'm going to draw that movie poster.
It is actually a movie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh.
So would you pull this off the shelf?
I mean, the box art is interesting. The description is interesting. I do enjoy, like, it reminds me of Ocean's 11 or Italian Job or like Heat. A bunch of kind of movies with a similar theme where, you know, everybody's just kind of like, we gotta go because they're all criminals and stuff. So it gives me that vibe. So I think I would pick it up and then I would put it right back on the shelf because when I was doing the show notes, the price of this game is $120.
Holy moly.
And that's the cheap version.
I mean, well, if we're a board game cafe, we might play it there. Doesn't have to be
purchasing
exactly.
Shelf. Up. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of it. Obviously, I do love a good heist kind of escape thing. Card drafting is not my favorite mechanic, but we'll see. I mean, I'm intrigued enough by the idea. I'm pretty sure I put it on the list. Well, I chose it from the list that was already on there.
I mean, the description sounds super interesting. Obviously, we love a good heist. I think we've established lately. Mechanics, nothing jumps out too much, but I could see how they might work with like movement and enclosure because the police are closing in on you. The art is kind of weird. I'm not sure I like that art, but then the fact that it's Vital Lacerda, like that scares me and I'd probably put it back down.
I think this is the first Vital Lacerda. He's known for very complex games.
And crunchy games. So I'm a little worried about that piece. But I don't know, maybe I'll be surprised. There's a couple, I think Lisboa and The Galleris might also be on our list on Mars. So maybe we will enjoy them. How do you think it's played, BP?
Well, we're going to have a board.
Mm-hmm. A modular one.
She's crushing, mm-hmm. she's crushing mm-hmm. it today. Uh-huh.
And we're trying to escape before they put down the city. So the basics, right? Enclosure. So I'm assuming there's going to be like rounds or phases. And like if we don't like do so much in one of those rounds or phases, right? There's just one more lockdown. Reminds me of Mr. Jack or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like we're going to like locked out of maybe like the hexes are like being locked out or something. So we can't go in there anymore.
Yeah. Like that escape route will be closed, right? Like you want to go try to exit the city through the sewers, but like the SWAT team has cut down that one sewer or whatever.
But then it also has tile placement. So maybe we're also adding in pieces of city too that we can open up.
Oh, maybe when we help with the card drafting, maybe like one of the cards that we'll be able to play is like hiring the thugs or whatever who created diversion, mm-hmm. which draws the police out. And so then we, yeah.
And then, yeah. And then we'll like take that route. And then there's obviously going to be like stops along the way where we can pick up our loot, right?
Right.
It's like, where it's probably like, you know, you got to make a route through the city to pick up your loot and to escape. But like the police are moving, you're placing tiles, the police are moving. Blocking off things. It's kind of all we have to go off of, but I feel like there's going to be a million more things.
I feel like it, I don't know, like the sounds of it make it sound a little like Mr. Jack, but like I think maybe we're oversimplifying it because
yeah, I'm sure there's much more. There's not much to go off of with the description. Like I guess we're probably gonna have like action points so we can do a certain number of actions in a turn. We'll have to move mm-hmm. around. We'll have to, like you said, get the gangs to do diversions and probably the cards are like along those lines. So, man, I'm not actually, well, I guess we'll see. Maybe it's a simple, complex game.
It's simply complex.
All right. The history of escaping the police.
Yeah. So I am going to focus on one bank heist in particular that when I read the description, like made me kind of think of. Because I knew like back in the 19th century, there were like tons of bank heists in London and of course, like the 1930s in the United States, right? Like Dillinger. Everybody wanted to go. Yeah. Like
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah. Rob banks. But I wanted to find a story that really kind of had that almost Fast and Furious feel where they really go like in and like drill and get like the whole thing. And it happened, of course, in Brazil as well. So there was some bank in Brazil 2005 in the summer. And like the team like for 3 months had rented like a space in the middle of the city, of course, right near-ish the bank, not like right next door. But they were posing apparently as a landscaping team. And so that helped them get like digging stuff, right? Because they were a landscaping business. And so, you know, they spent the 3 months like posing as this company and then, of course, drilling underneath. And then one weekend in August, they actually drilled through, right, the steel reinforced flooring and left with like obscene amounts of money, much of which has still yet to be recovered. I think like some of the gang members who did this, some of them have been caught, not a whole lot of them. Like it was a pretty significant sized team. Apparently, according to Wikipedia, part of the story is, again, it much citation needed in this article. But accordingly, one of the leaders or the leader was like kidnapped and after paying the ransom was killed. So maybe it's not such a good thing to go off and get a bank heist and have tons of money. And
that reminds me of the beginning of Dark Knight, the one with Heath Ledger as the Joker, and they're out there robbing the bank and everybody has like one job. Mm-hmm. And then somebody else is like, okay, as soon as that guy's done, you kill that guy.
Right.
Here's your job. And it's like, no, I'm here to kill the bus driver. It's like the bus driver, and the bus driver like drives through the wall. Like it's crazy. Didn't you work for a thing that like you got to see like all kinds of like updates and warnings about bank robberies and stuff?
And they had the bandit tracker. And so every time there was a bank robbery, I got an alert on the bandit tracker. It was very exciting for me. I was in a nice, secure place, not probably not for the people being robbed. But all right, now that we're on the topic of robbery. Yeah. How do we play this game?
All right, so the game is played over three rounds. Each round represents one day. And over the course of the round, police officers are going to spread out throughout the city, closing off exits.
I was right.
Okay.
We're done. Let's play.
Yep, we're done. All right. And then players are going to use their actions to travel around the city, trying to collect money, hiring gangs, visiting stores to buy disguises, open lockers to get more money. And these actions will increase notoriety, which does help you unlock new abilities, but also makes the police more aware of you. And so they will close in on you. And on the third day, players must get through the only exit in town. And at that point, the player with the most money remaining is the winner. The first player is the player who most recently robbed a bank. And I just wrote, this should be interesting.
Is that like for real?
Yeah, that is for real. That is the first. And there's no like, if it's tied, like randomly choose. It just, it goes from the first player is the person who most recently robbed a bank. And then it goes right into explaining the game.
That's amazing.
There's no pause, nothing. It was great. It might be my favorite so far.
Well, none of us have rubbed a bank.
No, but so. I think because Eric worked at a bank and got to see the bandit tracker, I feel like he's the closest. Okay, so Eric's going to get to go. He's going to be the first player. So each round consists of six phases. So in the first phase is the income phase, and you're going to get money based off of the income value showing on your player board. The next phase is patrol. We're going to reveal the top two cards of the patrol deck and place them on the associated patrol spaces. So essentially, this is going to close off the exits to the city. So when we set up the game, there's going to be eight cards. We're going to shuffle them up and we're going to put one of them in the box. So no one's going to know which one it is. And then there's two for each exit. As soon as we hit the second patrol card for an exit, that exit is closed. So it's kind of a guess to see which of the four exits will be the one to get out of the city. The next step is the city step. So starting with the first player, players will take turns placing a city tile from the display. There's going to be four of those onto the map. So the only two, there's two rules for placement. They must be adjacent to two other tiles, and at least one land type must match up. And matching more than one land type will make movement easier later on. And the land types are industrial, which is like a dark black, commercial, which is a like a light gray, residential, which is green, and then water, which, as is tradition, is blue. Tiles could have businesses, safe houses, gangs, or police officers on them. So turn order. So that's the phase three. So for our game, we have to place all four tiles. So whoever is the first player is essentially going to get to place two tiles because it'll go back around the order. Then the next phase is turn order. So we're going to change up the turn order based on notoriety. So whoever has the most notoriety will then get to go first, and then it'll go in descending order. If there's a tie, we reverse the order of the tokens. Then we go into player action. This is the big phase, and it's split into five parts of the day, and then during which it will go in turn order and perform the actions. So they've split it basically into morning, afternoon, and evening. So those are all mandatory. And then if players have earned the extra action discs, then they can potentially take extra actions in the night or dawn. So every round, everybody's going to have 3 to 5 actions, depending on what they've earned. So during your turn, you can rest, which lets you flip your rest token to the moon side because you can only do it once per day, only one nap per day. And then you get to flip all your used contact and equipment cards back to their available side. And you get to unlock a locked asset tile from your board. And that's what you could do for a rest. For a move, you can spend 1 to 3 movement points to leave a location, enter a location, cross a land type, or move between locations. You must always end your movement in a different location than you started, and you can't do it in like the terrain areas. So every board is going to have like multiple locations on it. So to leave a location is a move. To move through a land type is one movement point, no matter how many tiles you cross, and then entering another location is a movement point. Once you've finished your move, you have to avoid the police. And so use those by doing executive actions, which are basically free actions. which are, you can use a contact, which gives you abilities, use equipment, which gives you abilities, use a fixer, which again gives you abilities, you can perform first aid, which lets you heal wounds, use a gang member, which gives you some sort of ability, use an unlocked asset tile, you have to pay for it, and then you use its ability. For each police officer you can't avoid, you get a wound. And if you get three wounds, you're going to lose some of your spaces on your player board. The locations are businesses and safe houses. Basically, they will either give you money now or points at the end of the game. And at safe houses, you can also get fixers. You can get into gangs, which lets you basically gain their trust. Yes.
What's a fixer?
From my movie knowledge, a fixer is the type of person you would call when you kill someone or do some sort of thing. So they come in and they clean up the crime scene for you, basically. And they do all the things to like make it so that you don't get caught. There's convenience stores, which let you, you can get gasoline, which gives you extra movement points. You can open up lockers, which have more money, and you can buy equipment. You have clinics, which let you unlock assets, gain contacts, and heal wounds. You have churches where you can pay to decrease your notoriety. I'm guessing you pay by putting money in the tithe. And then that makes you less notorious. You can gain contacts and unlock assets. Hospitals, which heal wounds better than clinics. And then exits. And then during rounds one and two, exits will just give you more income and contacts. But round three, if you're at the open one, you can pay money, which the cost will increase. So the first person to leave town has to pay nothing. And then after that, you have to pay money in order to escape town. So that's all done in phase five. And then phase six is change of day. So this is the cleanup phase, basically. So the layers with rest token, the players with rest tokens on the moon side will flip them to the sun side, and the time markers move back to the start space on the time track. Oh, and the one part I didn't mention was at the end of each part of the day, we will adjust our notoriety. So our notoriety will go up and down, but it won't change until the next round. At the end of the third round, players who successfully escaped will score. You can't win if you're in jail. And players get points for the money collected from businesses and safe houses, money behind their player screen, 10,000 for each used asset tile, money based on the number of contact cards they have, and any money collected from lockers and exit tiles. Finally, they will lose money based on their notoriety. So the more notorious you are, the less, the more money you get taken away, and you'll lose 20,000 for each wound. Tie goes to the first to the player with the most money behind their screen, then to the least notoriety, then to the least wounds. And after that, they share the victory. And that is the rules summary.
All right, run. Let's play.
We just finished a game of Escape Plan. To recap, BP escaped the city with $50,000. Not a bad heist.
Nope.
However, I made it out with almost $500,000, $488,000.
I'm guessing you got chunks of mine and BP's. You knew where we stashed our money.
Kiwi did not make it out of the city. He's in the clink.
Yep, I got arrested. I didn't have enough money to bribe my way out of the thing.
Very close. BP threw him under the bus and snuck by while he was being arrested, taken out of town.
Yep.
Exactly.
Strategy? I mean, I was all over the place. I think things that helped me was the first turn, I didn't have anywhere to go, so I went to an exit and got a bunch of cash. And so I felt like I wasn't like struggling for money for the early game because I got like that big 9,000 income. So I think that helped me out a lot. And then I don't know. I visited places that gave me end game points and hoped that that worked.
Yeah.
It seemed like it did. And then BP put the exit next to me, which was a huge help.
anybody else? I did not realize that.
Strategy?
I don't know. Like I tried to, like my original goal was to try and visit as many of the locations as I could. But then like, it just didn't work out. Like, I don't know what I feel like I changed a couple times.
See, I was going for money.
Yeah, you went cash.
Which I also don't think is a bad idea.
Yeah, because I figured I needed to bribe people. I needed to buy stuff.
Well, it just seems like the end game bonuses added up so much that Kiwi-wise, like you visited about the same buildings, safe houses. You added up there. You just lost a lot more because of the notoriety. I also played very under the radar. I didn't do a lot of notoriety stuff. I just took bullets if I needed to.
Yeah, I guess that, yeah. The notoriety, like, you get to unlock a bunch of assets, but in the end, like, and I had to go up to the next highest because I had to get an extra action in order to even get close enough to the exit because I rested. And I think maybe if you're going to rest, maybe do it on the second day because you can't waste actions on the last day because if you don't know where the exit is.
I was planning my entire third turn was just go to the exit. Like I wasn't going to do anything else. I ended up being able to, but my plan was just to go straight to the exit because I wanted to make sure I got out first because I didn't know how much it was going to cost to get out. And I was worried about that.
Because the other bad part about visiting the places is even though you get sometimes bonuses at the end, unless you go to the places where you get money immediately, like you and BP visited a couple places like that. I didn't go to any places that gave me income. I just didn't have the money to be able to do stuff. So there was stuff that I needed to do at the end of the game. Like I couldn't pay my way out of the city and I couldn't pay to use one of my contacts and I had to take wounds. So even if I had gotten out of the city, I was going to lose 40 grand immediately trying to get my wounds all fixed up.
Yeah, I think you definitely need to go get the cash early. Stop at a cash place early. So when you have the high income, and then try to get the end game bonuses towards the end when your income's down. So, I mean, obviously it's easier said than done, but.
Right.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the theme? Feel like you were escaping the police in a heist thing?
I mean, I don't know about like, yeah, there were definitely aspects where like, you know, it felt like there were roadblocks around the city and I felt more like I was trying to collect things and then get to another place. That's what I felt like. Which, I mean, kind of was the idea behind it. Like you're trying to get all the money you stashed away and get out. So I guess in that aspect, like, yeah. But I don't know if I got like the movie feeling of
being a criminal
trying to escape and get out.
I didn't feel like I thought the key would have been like, we feel like we were being closed in on. Mm-hmm. And it almost had the opposite feel because you're expanding the map. It almost feels like you're getting like more area to move around in. I almost think like the opposite of like if the map started big and then it were constricting in on us, that would have like given that feeling of like, oh, God, they're closing in.
Yeah. Or if there were more ways to move the police officers, because I feel like once they were on the board, like everybody had assets and some people had contacts that you could move the police officers around. But the fact that you were limited by, you know, you can't have the same colored police officer on the same hex. Like that kind of limited where you could move folks. So
it like definitely the cards and the like that kind of stuff lent to it. But I just feel like the central mechanic didn't.
I mean, I feel like I don't have anything to add.
Well, what did you think of the art, BP?
I do remember having to ask a bunch of questions at the beginning about what these things were. But overall, I mean, aside from just Eurogame having a lot of things going on the board, I thought it was pretty straightforward. It wasn't, again, it's nothing like super cool where you're like, oh, this is really great, or there's a lot of things here, but it wasn't as bad, I feel like, as the cover art was. And not that the cover art was bad, it was just like not our style. But I feel like, there's just a lot. But once you understand the symbols, I guess you get it.
Yeah. Were you able to, I mean, the game, I wouldn't say short, but in terms of like the amount of times that you actually get to go, did you feel like you picked up were the icons easy enough to, once you knew what one meant, you could figure out what the others meant? Or do you think there was a learning curve there with those icons?
I don't know. By the end of the first day, I feel like we had most of them down.
Okay. Eric?
Yeah. I mean, there's still some that I like when I looked at. I think when I went towards the clinic at the end of the game, I was like, I need you to read it out of the rule book. And I couldn't. I looked at the icons on the thing and I was like, I don't know. Tell me what it is. So.
Yeah.
But I mean, art-wise, I mean, it's not like, I don't think it's there to be like, art fantastic, but I feel like, you know, the tiles, you know, try to do what they're supposed to do, show different terrain, you know, the cards, I mean, that show like your contacts, for instance do have some little bit of flavor to them where they're all a little bit different. But by and large, I mean, it is what it is, and it's not trying to be more than it is. And it's not like it's, you know, absolutely terrible, but.
We talked a couple of weeks ago about in Sabotage, how the player boards, Eric talked about there being a lot of blank space and they could have done more art with the blank space. I do like the player boards in this game that they're like briefcases and they're all laid out to look like with, you know, different areas of the briefcase. So like that's where you keep all your stuff. I did like that, like art aspect to it. So I think that goes back into what Eric was saying before about, you know, you can add art to your player board. It doesn't clutter it up, but you can make the player board into something just a little bit more than a place where I'm putting my discs and cubes.
Yeah, exactly. But overall, and I think this is probably applies more to the central map, like I feel like if I were to walk by this at a convention or something, I would look at it and go, that looks like an old game.
Yeah, and just keep walking by.
Yeah, it doesn't have a good table presence, I feel like. I do like the player boards, but I feel like that central board, I would just look at and be like, that looks like a, you know, early 2000s game and keep walking. Like, it doesn't jump out at me, I feel like. But then, like Kiwi said, there are some, like, clever pieces with, like, especially the player board with the keys and stuff like that, where everything has a place to go, but it's not just, like, squares and cubes. So, I don't know. It has some ups and downs, I guess. Mechanics, Kiwi?
I mean, nothing crazy. Like, these are all mechanics what we've used before, you know, action points, movement points. I thought the notoriety piece, there wasn't really card drafting, though. I mean, sort of the contacts.
It's a simple draft, cards in a line, you pick one.
Yeah, the one part I did think that was interesting was the notoriety bit, where you kind of wanted notoriety because it let you unlock asset tokens, or if you got to the top, you got an action disc. But at the same time, you didn't want them because some of them have massive penalties. Like, you make it all the way. It's a 30K jump to go from 4 to 5, and then another 20K to go from 5 to 6. So you really didn't want to be that high, even though it let you unlock things. I think the best way to play that would be try to stay as low as you can and get some cards that let you go up or down, or use the gang members that let you decrease notoriety in order to continue to trigger that unlock asset at the very bottom. I think that would be the key to like using it. So I think that was kind of interesting where they made it both good and bad, but mostly bad at the end of the game.
There's definitely a big unstated pressure luck in this game, like in a lot of different ways, which I enjoyed is probably the most. Like you said, other than that, mechanically, like, you put tiles down to form a map. Like, that's pretty basic. Action moves, you know, all that's nothing too fancy. But I feel like there's some decent unstated kind of mechanics under there.
Haven't we talked before about, like, sometimes the ones that are listed aren't necessarily the only ones that are involved in the game? It's just what you get from BGG.
Yep, exactly. I mean, it's what people put in is what you get out. Mm-hmm. So,
BP on the learning the game, the rules. I mean, we kind of talked about the iconography.
Yeah, but I remember when I think I said this as we were getting started, I was like, wow, that summary was just so much easier to understand than when we looked at the board, and it just seemed very complicated. And he was kind of refreshing, like, what we could do again. And I mean, it really did take me, I feel like, even into day two. So day one, I kind of understood what was at least the actions, right? But by day two, then I was like, oh, there's this whole other stuff going on over here. You know, like, there is definitely, like, it's going to take you like some while. But by day three and towards the end of day three, I was like, okay, I need to start figuring out, right? Like, how many moves. But like before then, it was always like, can I do this? How many moves? If I want to go here, can I do it? So, I mean,
yeah, I think it's definitely one where you kind of pick up kind of the core of the game pretty quickly, but there's still a lot of like nuances, especially like how much, like, I imagine if somebody has played this game a bunch, like figuring out how much they will need money wise to be able to get out on the last day, they could probably kind of plan that out. But like, you're going to take a few playthroughs probably before you get to that level. But I think you can pick it up well enough to play it on the rule book. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, the rule book is big. There's a lot of stuff.
But it looked pretty
It's pretty well organized. Yeah. We did have to go to it a bunch, but I think of it kind of like Western Legends, where mm-hmm. there was so much to do and everything was so different. I mean, some of the stuff, you know, there were some common things like, hey, if you're in a place with more than one person, you get notoriety. But like every location kind of did its own thing. And so every time we did it for the first time, we had to look it up and read through it. And that was just on me because it was a lot to learn because there is a lot in the game. And so just like Western Legends, every time we did something new, we kind of looked it up. I felt like once I did it, I did double check a couple of things. Because I did read the rule book. I watched the official video put out by Eagle Griffin to kind of go through it. And that definitely helped. But I don't think the rule book is bad. One of my favorite things is throughout the rule book, there are quotes from escape type movies. So there's like Ocean's 11, Italian Job. What I think is funny is he very specifically puts dates for some of them. So it's the new Ocean's 11, the remake mm-hmm. in 2001, but it was the old Italian Job from the 60s is the one he quotes. So it was like, he very clearly liked that one more than the remake. Yeah. But then there was like Heist and Reservoir Dogs. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of movies that this kind of theme fits mm-hmm. in, which I thought was just kind of a fun addition, but in a way that didn't take away from the rule book. They were just like little blurbs, like off to the side, and they colored it and set it up to very specifically make it so like, hey, this isn't important. You can just skip over this.
Which is kind of nice because if you're doing a full read through like for the first time, like it's nice to break up like a onslaught mm-hmm. of rules with just something else.
And that's definitely what it did. So, yeah.
Play interaction. There's less than I thought there would be. I thought it would be a little bit more interactive.
Why would you think that?
Based on the description where it was like you're kind of like, it sounded like there'd be more like trying to like trip each other up kind of thing. Yeah. Maybe not necessarily take that, but a little more like trying to like block people from doing stuff or, you know, just other things like that. Other than really moving the police towards them when they hit a notoriety level. I mean, I guess you could lock the building when two people went there, but I don't think you would do that intentionally. I feel like that would just, you go to the buildings you want. If it locks, it locks.
Yeah. And I feel like people had enough like cards or assets that even when we moved, there was the one where we put like BP had all three colors police officers on her grid. And like, I don't remember what she did, but she was able to like, oh, she used a gang member. And she just was like, bah,
that's what I figured. And like, I think the thing is like, I had so much of my own stuff to track. I'm not going to track what you have available. So I didn't think there was that much interactiveness. I mean, obviously I kind of screwed you by getting out first, but I also just wanted to get out of the thing. So it's not like that was like a play just to mess you guys up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But what'd you think?
Well, see, I just figured since it was a Euro game, there wouldn't be, because I've always felt that maybe this is my misinterpretation of Euro games, that they are just very much about you calculating stuff. And there's very little, except for incidental, right, interactions with each other.
It can tend to be that way. Yeah. they call them cube pushers for a reason.
Just based on the description, I mean, I didn't know. We thought it might be like a Euro type game just based on the designer, but based on the description, I thought that there would be more.
I think when I read the description before reading the rules, I thought there would be two. But then I think now I'm where BP is, where now that we've played it, like this is what I should have expected from the start.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the description is deceptive.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. So would you play it again? Kiwi.
My answer is almost always yes. I think I would. I think... you know, there's an action point or actions economy here that you kind of have to figure out. Like Eric said, like if somebody plays this a lot, they can start saying like, okay, I need this much cash in order to do this thing that I want. And I need this many movement points and this many turns to do it. When you play a game for the first time, sometimes it can be hard. Like, what is the value of money? What is the value of an action? And until you get a game through, you don't really understand like what the value of something is. And how key it is, like, because there were a couple cards where, you know, Eric was looking at him and was like, well, this seems way more valuable than this other thing, which, you know, you can say that on a first playthrough. But when you play it more than once, you might see different value mm-hmm. in things. And I feel like the value of stuff is going to change because the police officers on the grid is going to change. The grid itself where people place thing is going to change. So with that modular board, it kind of changes a little bit. I brought up at the very beginning of the show, the price tag sets me off. So mm-hmm. if it was at a game cafe, Yes, I would play it again. Yeah.
I guess I'll go. I think I'd play it again with some caveats of Kiwi needs to be there to walk me through it. It's so much to remember. And I feel like there's no way, like, unless you played it a lot, like, you're always going to have to go to the rule book a decent amount to remember things, which would be daunting for me. Like, this would be terrifying to teach to somebody. I think a big thing for me with these kind of complex games is these, like, administratively complex, where there's just a lot of pieces that you have to keep track of. That tends to turn me away. That's probably my biggest negative of the game, is like the idea of playing it again and having to move all these pieces around and track everything. And I mean, how many times are we like, okay, now we got to do the notoriety, and now we got to check this, and oh, we forgot to do this, and don't forget to pay for that. And it's a lot, and I don't love games that make me do all that. So I'd play it again, but it wouldn't be like at the top of the list. But it was a fun playthrough. BP?
Probably not. I feel like there's just a lot of other games that I think I enjoy a lot better that have this type of theme. And while, yes, sure, like, I could maybe play it again and maybe do better, but I don't know that it was that enjoyable, that there's just so much else out there. Like,
that is Escape Plan.
So if you have any recommendations you would like to hear our impression on, please send them our way. You can do it via email at firstturntabletop@gmail.com, or hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at firstturncast, and the podcasting camel, as he's running out the exit past that Kiwi, says, please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you. Play more games.
See, man, yeah. Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatcher, see?
I am the notorious BP.
Use my hat to avoid the blue. Oh, fuck. Fuck, fuck, fuck.
Can't pay to get out.
I don't have any money. I can't pay to get out. So I cannot leave and I get arrested. This is bullshit.